And reading the passage this morning to which Kim referred from the Gospel of John, chapter 2. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." They replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days?" But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, your words are often challenging, hard to understand, but even harder to embody as we live as your faithful disciples. We ask, O God, for your wisdom, that we might hear and understand your word, but also for the courage to follow your word faithfully. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, I was at a presbytery meeting this week. Any of you been to presbytery besides, I know, yeah, Jim Campbell, you've been there a few times, eh? Yeah, a few of us hang out at presbytery. I noticed nobody else from here was hanging out with me this week. Anyway, I was sitting at a corner of the room reading a novel, mostly trying to avoid that kind of touchy-feely stuff that they do at the beginning, you know, turn around and share with your neighbor and maybe give them a hug. Anyway, all of that to say, I don't always pay careful attention at these meetings, but Orville James, the minister at Wellington Square, started talking about the traits of flourishing congregations as identified by the Flourishing Congregations Institute in Calgary. I'd never heard of that place before. And so I decided it was time to put my book away. And I'm glad I did, because I want to talk about some of those trademarks today. The first one I want to mention is that of being an inviting rather than a welcoming church. So I should have read, I can't see it from here, I should have read our mission statement before. Do we say we're a welcoming congregation? Anybody remember what our mission statement says? Well, it doesn't matter. I'd be surprised if it doesn't, because every congregation I have ever served calls themselves a welcoming church. And I'd never thought of this before, but that infers that if people decide to wander in, then we will be friendly. And don't get me wrong, I've told you before, I think we score pretty high on that scale. But being inviting infers that we are not passively sitting around waiting for others to come to us. We are out there seeking to draw people in. Now, that, of course, raises the issue of whether or not the mission of the church is, in fact, to draw people in here, or if it is for us to take the gospel out there. But let's leave that thought for now, because I just want us to think for a moment about what it might mean for us to be an inviting church. Well, first, I think it would mean we need to know what it is we're inviting people to, right? You don't invite people to dinner unless you actually plan to present them with some food that's worth eating. And usually you invite some other interesting people that they might enjoy getting to know. Well, unless you're the minister, and sometimes we're the ones people invite when they feel obligated to return a favor and have someone to dinner that none of their other friends would want to spend time with, you know? So that's when you invite the minister, because we're friendly to everybody. It's never happened in this church, honest. It's all good. So if we want to be an inviting church, then why? Why would we want to invite people in? And again, I use that term not in a literal sense, but more in a general way. Why would we here at St. John's want people to join us on our journey as a downtown Oakville congregation of the Church of Jesus Christ? If you were at the congregational meeting last week, you'll know that we have created a new position called Vice Chair of the Board, not as a means to have someone step up to chair, but to carry out certain tasks as needed. And John Ball has graciously agreed to fill that role, and he's already busy beginning his assigned task of helping us discern our future here at St. John's. And among the things we'll be thinking about is, how do we want to market our congregation in the future? Because if we want to grow our church, if we want people to join us on the journey, if we too want to be a flourishing congregation, then we need to know what that journey's all about, which is another trademark of flourishing churches. They have discovered what their main trademark or goal is. They have discovered what it is they do best, and they market that to the community. So I'm not asking for your answers, but I'm just wondering, what would your answer be if I were to ask you that question right now? What is it that we do well here at St. John's? And how would we want to sell that to others? Because no one minister, just like no one congregation, can or even should try to do it all. So, do we want to be known as the church that does music well? The church that hosts amazing concerts like the one some of us enjoyed here last evening? Do we want to be the church that takes ministry with children and youth seriously? Do we want to be the church that pays most attention to outreach? The possibilities are absolutely endless, but apparently flourishing congregations don't try to do it all. They choose their niche and they build upon it. And of course, all of this assumes one other important trait of flourishing churches, which is they want to grow. So I'm sure you're saying we all want to grow, don't we? Isn't that one of the things we want to do? Actually, in my experience, we all say we want to grow, but there's always a yes, but attached to that. I remember some new families in a church telling of their story of agreeing to host coffee hour for the first time. They were so excited, they spent their whole Saturday baking, preparing goodies, and coffee hour was, needless to say, a huge hit. Then they were taken aside afterwards and told, "We don't do that here. No home baking at coffee hour, because then those who aren't able to do it will feel inadequate." Needless to say, they never volunteered to host coffee hour again. So to say we want to grow means that we will welcome change. We will welcome new ideas, and not just from people who have been here long enough to know our culture. In fact, not even just from the church, but we will welcome fresh new ideas even from those who come to us new to church with eyes open to the possibilities. You know, some people find this to be a really terrifying and depressing time to be the church. I actually find it to be energizing and exciting, and maybe that's simply because I get bored easily, and I like there always to be an element of change and chance in what I do. But I like to think it's more because we have reached a point in the Church of Jesus Christ where we simply need to stop taking our good fortune for granted. We need to stop living with the assumption that it's all about the bricks and mortar, for which I have a real fondness, I will admit. But we need to sometimes set that aside and listen carefully to what Jesus is teaching us, not in spite of, but through the current trend away from dedication to Sunday morning at 10:30. My presbytery work and that of Paul Lamont involves working closely with congregations for about a two-year period as they endure the current process for finding a new minister, and I know many of you remember those years here. And what I can tell you is that we are extremely fortunate here at St. John's. Not only do we have healthy trust funds, I think due to Jim Campbell's initiative during his ministry here, but we also have the financial potential among our regular givers to continue to be a witness to the love and grace of Jesus Christ here in this community for many, many years to come. So if you were at the annual meeting last week, you might remember, or you might have chosen to forget, that I suggested if you all just gave us 10% of your income off the top, we'd be sailing. It's what we used to do in the good old days. You know, I grew up in one of those households. But I've actually rethought that, and I think I set my expectations a little high. So I've come up with a new idea. So instead of your gross salary, we're quite happy to have you look at your net salary. And if you want to start with 5%, that would be acceptable for the first year. Because, and this is just a little aside, you do realize that if we rely too heavily on our trust funds for the daily operation of our plant, then we lose our sense of obligation and commitment to the daily operating work of this church. And then, years down the road, when we need those funds for something really innovative, really special, really extraordinary, the funds won't be there. Okay, but the point is, in comparison to many other United Churches who have nothing to fall back on and whose members do not have the assets many of us enjoy, we are nowhere near needing life support at St. John's. So, I would like you all to think very carefully about that question. If we are an inviting congregation, and I think we want to be, to what are we inviting people? Because I think it's the question raised in our gospel reading today. When Jesus said he could rebuild the temple in 3 days, we can't avoid the parallel to his 3 days in the grave and his resurrection. Jesus wasn't really talking about the rebuilding of the structure. the temple, which unfortunately the sanctuary still sometimes continues to be that to which we are dedicated, the institution. What Jesus was really saying was that through the grace and power of God, I will withstand the ravages of the cross. Death will not overcome the goodness of God, and truth and love will win over evil. And so as we think about our future here at St. John's, and as we begin to focus on our priorities, we need to ask the big question that underlies everything else. Is it just the institution that we seek to preserve? Is it the bricks and mortar, which we all love, that are the center of our dedication, of our devotion? Or is it the love and grace of Jesus Christ, which I believe will exist and will flourish, even if the institution we love should happen to crumble to the ground? We love this church we call our spiritual home. If we didn't, we would not invest our time, our physical energy, our money, our blood, sweat, and tears in the restoration work that we continue to do, and we certainly still count on your support to get that work done. We love our building. But the reason we are so invested in the plant itself is because we want it to be the venue through which we spread and share the grace and love of Jesus Christ with our community and with our world. Inviting, knowing our strengths and desiring to grow, those are just three signs of a flourishing church. We'll look at others in the weeks to come. But I would ask you to ponder those three things and think seriously about what it is we want our trademark to be. How are we going to brand ourselves in the future? To whom or to what are we dedicated as we move to the future? And never, ever lose hope in the power of Jesus Christ to continue to build and to rebuild and to build again his church of grace, forgiveness, and love. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Thanks be to God.